Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking about the world of IT and probably talking to one of the youngest heads of an IT company in South Africa. That is Letabo Mokone, who is the CEO of Makwa IT. Just to understand what they are doing. They pride themselves in being one of the fastest growing and sort of more developed black-owned IT companies in South Africa. So we're going to be getting a sense of what all of that means, his experience in terms of running that company, maybe some plans for the future. And who knows, he might also give us some secrets into some future acquisitions or some of their future plans for their business. Letabo, greetings to you for today.
Thank you so much, Mudiwa. It's a great pleasure to have me and our organization on your platform.
As always, on this platform, we usually like to start by understanding the business before we get into the meat and potatoes of the discussion. So maybe for the benefit of our listeners and people that have not heard of Makwa IT, what is it that you guys do? When did you guys sort of begin? And what does business look like at the moment?
We were established in 2012, registered under the name Makwa IT Technologies. We are a system integrator, and in one of our kind of like words that we associate with under our logo is that we say we're curious because of our size. We are distinct, and we are very savvy. Number two, Makwa IT is 100% Black and youth-owned company. Today is actually my birthday, so I'm turning 35, being the last year of being a youth in the borders of South Africa. And what we do is we do infrastructure and virtualization technologies. We do cybersecurity. We do what we call collaboration. Collaboration technologies, we're talking about contact centers, we're talking about video endpoints, we're talking about platforms such as WebEx meetings, WebEx teams that are powered up by Cisco. And then we also do automation and orchestration integration in our world. And we obviously have a lot of expertise around the technologies with which we offer our solutions. We also have a firm customer base in the private and in the public sector. In the private sector, we're playing a lot in the financial service institutions. Some of these customers I cannot mention their names because of the NDAs that we have signed. But in the likes of the public sector, we've done a lot of work for state information technology agencies, a few departments, such as the Department of Education, and also in the private sector. We are servicing the mining industry, likes of Komatsu Mining. We have a Discovery Insure as a customer as well. Now, over and above the services that I have indicated, we also play a lot around the cloud space. We are an AWS partner from a vendor perspective, including Microsoft Azure, and we also complement them with migration tools or migrating tools, automated migrating tools, which allow customers to migrate their workloads into the cloud automatically rather than doing it manually. And we also provide a tool that is a multi-cloud platform that also provides an encryption in the cloud in both those cloud platforms, which is a technologies or those which are technologies that are very, very niche, especially for our region of Africa, but they are booming in the likes of Silicon Valley and Europe and Middle East regions. And then lastly, we also have at the office a network operating center and a security operating center. And we're very big on our purpose, because our purpose is primarily to drive a new era of technology and transformation, an era that will create a meaningful jobs and have a big impact on the people of this great nation. So we pride ourselves with that, because we believe in a lot of empowerment, especially around the youth, looking at the scale of the unemployment rate in the youth group. So we have learnership programs. Once the learners have passed and made it through the learnership program, we also move them into an internship. And finally, we employ them. Because what we've seen previously is that a lot of young people get into learnership and internship programs, and from there on, they get dumped. So we've taken a slightly different approach, wherein we said, if you are competent enough and we are happy with your performance, we hire you.
And, you know, because this is a business platform, we're always interested to know and understand what's going on the business end of things. And, you know, our listeners might also want to know that, you know, given everything that you've just spoken about, as Makwa IT, are you guys actually making money? Is it a profitable enterprise?
I think ICT as a whole, information and communication technology as an industry, is the most lucrative industry from a business perspective, especially if you are providing tools that are a great need into organizations, and those tools kind of push and provide productivity for them, create automation for them. You know, so yes, it is a very lucrative industry, and that's why the likes of Jeff Bezos, the likes of Bill Gates, the likes of Elon Musk are all in the tech industry. I'm not saying it's because they are in it for the money, but that's why they are the top three richest people in the world, and they're all. They all happen to be in the tech industry. So it's a very lucrative industry.
Okay, so I think, you know, just given everything that you've just said, I'm just going to assume that you're saying that business is good over at Makwa IT. And against that backdrop, we wanted to also maybe get a sense, when it comes to specifically running a black IT company, right? Are the fortunes the same, or would you say that some of the dynamics that work into the economics of an IT company, do they change in any way? Do perceptions change? Do the risks or the challenges change? Does it affect in any way how you do business?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, number one, running a business, running an ICT business doesn't differ a lot from running an ordinary business, because any business would have challenges, organizational challenges, and the IT business is no exception to that. However, the most, I would say, unique thing about running an IT business is that ICT is forever changing, number one. What was might not necessarily be what is or what is going to be tomorrow. So you might find that what you are offering today can no longer be relevant tomorrow. So how do you move away from that? So you would focus a lot on skills, training skills and certification to always be moving with the times, always providing the latest technologies, and also having to understand that as a business, you are going to spend a lot of money on training and certifications, right? I'll give you an example. The reason why Makwa IT is the only 100% black youth-owned Cisco Gold partner, number one, is because of such investment. There is a lot of money that goes into the training and certifications. You have to skill up your engineers. They have to do labs, and some labs are not even done in country. They have to be done in Dubai and other European countries because we don't have the labs in South Africa to become a CCIE, right? A CCIE meaning a Cisco Certified Internet Expert. You have to actually fly up there and do those labs. And I think a lab right now, it's about 60 to 70,000 per person. That is just the registration. We're not talking about the logistics part of it, the flight, the accommodation, and all that. So to be a Cisco Gold partner, you at least have to have like four CCIEs. And if somebody is a CCIE, I mean, their salary ranges between 1.2 to 1.5 million per annum. So meaning that you have a resource that you have highly skilled. On top of that, you are paying them a lot of money to maintain them and to also keep on updating themselves with the latest technology. So you have to take a conscious decision as a leader of an organization to say, you know what, when it comes to training and certifications, we are not going to beat around the bushes. We are going to heavily invest in that. That's the key point there. Number two, you have to be very, very agile as an organization. You have to be very, very versatile because, like I said, in technology, things move fast. And super fast. So it is very important for a leader of an organization or everyone in the organization to be very, very agile and versatile to adapt to any technological changes that might just come abruptly.
I think, you know, one of the overarching messages I'm really getting from this entire chat, if I'm going to take anything away, is more of us just need to be in IT because, you know, this is where it's at. And, you know, in terms of a lucrative career and businesses, you know, it really does sound like it's something to really consider and get into. So when it comes to, I guess, hiring and attracting some of that talent, have you found that part to be hard? Perhaps getting someone to come to a Marco IT as opposed to maybe one of your bigger competitors, all of those things. When it comes to attracting talent, do you find there's enough people that are trying to be in the IT industry? Are there enough people, you know, trying that you guys are attracting, or do you find yourselves then competing with some of the other competitors?
There are skills in the country, but not enough skills, right? We do get a lot of people seeking employment. However, we've taken a totally different approach wherein we take people from scratch and train them through the learnership program, then into the internship program, where they'll be doing a lot of practical work. And then if they pass, they become employed, right? So because sometimes it becomes very much easier to take an unskilled person and skill them not only with a faculty or industry, but also to teach them around the culture of the company so that when they eventually become an employee, then they are indoctrinated in nothing else but that organization and its way of doing things. So we prefer to go into the squalors, into the squatter camps, and find young men and women who do not know anything about IT, put them into those programs, and then evaluate them annually and eventually employ them. So we create our own skills. We really do create our own skills. And also, like I said, some of the technologies which we are playing around with are very niche technologies which are not even in the country. You know, they are so niche that we are the only people in South Africa that are providing those kind of technologies. Like there's a technology which the automated technology that I was telling you about to migrate workloads. I mean, to date, we still see a lot of people migrating their workloads manually. And when we offer the tool, it's like, wow, we never thought this kind of tool exists. And also the multi-cloud platforms as well. We're seeing a lot of organizations buying spaces in the hyperscalers, one being Microsoft Azure, the other one being AWS. And now when they've got those two platforms, there isn't any bridge in the cloud wherein they'll be able to migrate, to cross-migrate those workloads from one end to another, because these are two different platforms and they don't talk to one another. So we make them to speak to one another. And it's still a very niche and scarce technology.
This is the second time that you've brought up this issue of workloads. I understand what they are, but for our listeners who, you know, don't live in the IT world, perhaps you could explain what is meant when you say, when you talk about, you know, workloads.
Yeah, so workloads, we primarily talk about your virtual platforms, mostly, and your devices. And in those virtual platforms, I mean, talking about virtual computers, virtual servers, wherein a lot of applications are running those platforms. So if we are saying you're migrating, let's say, your virtual server, in that virtual server, it could be that you guys are running applications that you as a business are dependent on. So that is what a workload is, pretty much.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and also, I mean, another example, I'm sure you would know something called Office 365, Microsoft Office 365, yeah. So if you look at maybe somebody like Standard Bank, I mean, how many applications would they be running? I mean, it's tens of thousands, and Microsoft Office Office 365 being one of them, you know. So those applications as well, because Microsoft Azure has come up with this platform, it's very seamless to migrate it into their cloud platform, which becomes very easy.
Okay. That makes sense. I want to just bring you back to something that you were talking about earlier on when it was the skills discussion just now. What does your headcount currently look like?
40. We've got 20 permanent employees and we've got 20 contractors. Because we're still young, so we are gradually converting the remaining 20 into the permanent employees as we are growing.
All right. And from that point of view, geographically, are you just in South Africa or do you service clients that are outside, you know, on an international scale?
We are locally. However, we do have customers in the likes of Angola, Kenya. We are now in an engagement with the customer in Dubai as well, who they are interested in our services, but not at the scale in which we wish we could be doing it. But I think we are getting there in terms of the global expansion or the global growth.
All right. And earlier on, you did mention the fact that you guys do service government quite a bit. And I think you did mention some of the departments that you guys do, you know, work with. What do you make of some of the scrutiny that is currently on IT companies and their work with government? I say this because the likes of EOH and, you know, state capture and all of that have, you know, made people, you know, pay attention to some of these issues. So do you think that has tainted the industry as a whole, or, you know, how do you guys think around some of those issues?
Look, with EOH, I cannot really comment as much, but I can tell you what Makwa IT has been doing in the public sector. Number one, we've got very strong policies around the public sector and the engagement of public sector. Number two is that our primary focus actually is not necessarily in the public sector. Currently, we are more in the private sector because those are the people, based on experience to date, are more attracted to technologies, and there aren't any huge red tapes around procuring new technologies. But coming back into the public sector, I think from a government perspective, more could be done in terms of the speedy transformation or transformation journey into digitizing a lot of things. And I always wish that we could have like a very meaningful public sector, a platform where industry players such as Makwa IT and others can come in and try to assist the government where they are unable to digitize their environments, you know. So I think the likes of EOH and what I don't know what was I don't know what were those guys actually trying to achieve, because we solely believe that, you know, anything shady that happens in the back end, one way or another, it always finds its way into the light, you know, into the public platform or into lightness itself, and it becomes exposed.
And then when it comes to, you know, everything that's going on, earlier on you took us through quite a detailed approach, just how you are helping to get more youth, more Black youth into IT, the program that you have, you know, starting them from the bottom and then, you know, upskilling them, you know, upwards, just so that they, you know, they become competitive and, by extension, now have a competitive firm. Apart from what you guys are doing as Makwa IT, where do you sort of see the gaps? How else, what other ways, can the industry help to empower the youth, right, as an industry? Like, what are some of the other gaps that you're seeing?
It's very simple. I think the SMMEs, or the what we call SMDs, small medium businesses, are the actual hope for the unemployment rate in South Africa. Why do I say that? Because if you spend, as an organization, if you spend a lot of money with another big organization, the likelihood is that they're not going to create a job when they get that contract. But if you give a Makwa IT, let's say, R1 billion worth of a project, you are rest assured that these people are going to create 20 net new jobs simply because they're going to need the scale. And obviously, it will make sense for them to employ more staff so that maybe the project is successful. And on top of that, if you are creating jobs in technology, then even if maybe you had employed that person just for the duration of that project, they'll go away with a skill which somebody will not take away from them. They'll go away with an experience which somebody will never ever take away from them, and they can use that to go and seek maybe another job which might advance their career. So that's how I see it. I think a big or large enterprise customers, they need to really consider adopting spending on small medium businesses such as Makwa IT, because we do try to bridge that unemployment gap based on them becoming our customers.
All right. So now, as we end off today's discussion with Letabo, on the day that we are recording this, he did say that it is his birthday, 35 years old today. And in light of that previous question just around, you know, helping to upskill a person, that journey in the industry, you know, maybe as a parting shot, you could walk us through your own, you know, career and journey, because At the beginning, you gave us, when Makwa IT started and that journey from that point. But before you even got to Makwa IT, like, what was your career like? And at what point did you reach the stage where you said, okay, fine, I want to do my own thing now?
I've always been a sales guy, number one. I'm very good with sales. But I come from a business-orientated family. And my mother was the entrepreneur. My mother, she had her own business when she was 6 years old. She comes from a place called Joburton in Klerksdorp, Northwest. So she used to sell peanuts wrapped in a newspaper before she could actually go to school. This is what my grandmother used to tell me. So my mother is a very entrepreneurial, spirited person. And coming from Attridgeville, because that's where she met my dad, had a house there. And I think when I was like 5, 6 years old, they started buying, these 1 liter cold drinks in a crate and with sweets and whatnot. So we were selling that at home up until I think 4 years later, they built a spaza shop. And my dad both my parents never believed in getting people outside to actually run their business when they've got kids, when they've got children. So we are three at home. I'm the oldest, and then there's another one that follows me, and there's a last born, and we are all boys, fortunately. So we were always taught the discipline of working at that shop, at that spaza shop. We used to pack the shelves like merchandisers. We used to hit the till up until that spaza shop now grew into a big bottle store. And that bottle store, we managed to grow it up into a distributor, wherein they were distributing beverages.
Wow.
Alcoholic and non-alcoholic. We had contracts with SAB at the time and ABI at the time. And we had a depot and we had trucks, and we didn't get drivers. Our parents forced us to drive those trucks ourselves, go and offload those things and deal with the customers. So that's where I get my business acumen from, number one, from home, because I've never worked in my entire life. I think I worked a year at F&B, but that was it. That was just after varsity to see how corporate is, but I've never really worked. I've always worked at home. Then I think around 2011, I was getting very, very frustrated with the way the informal business was set up, because a lot of times in those instances, and I'm sure you would see them a lot of times, you work in the sun, and the sun is very hot in Pretoria. So at some point I started saying, I think I have in my own right conquered this informal business thing, and I think I want to start experiencing that aircon in the boardroom. That was my biggest motivator, actually, because it was very, very hot. Sometimes, you would have to drive the truck from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. With a temperature of 35 to 36 degrees the entire day. So the heat was a big challenge for me. And at the time, I had a lot of friends that were in IT, including one of my cousins was also in IT. And one day we were chilling and I said, guys, I've got this idea. Whenever we are all together, all you guys speak about is IP addresses, MAC addresses. It's all IT. So how about I bring my business experience and I set up this company and let's see where does this thing take us? They all agreed and we started. That's how Makwa IT was established. And I think our first year, we did fairly well after the establishment, because in the first year, we actually made a revenue of about 700,000. So I went back to the guys and I said, guys, in IT, you're able to make 700,000 just based on software. Do you know what I have to do in the distribution world to make 700,000? Like, I'll have to kill myself, So obviously the motivation grew much quicker, you know. But at some point, things didn't go so well because when we started, we were just primarily focused on security, information security. That was it. So at some point, things weren't so good and we weren't getting any businesses. And then things went very south for us, and we had to now go back to the drawing board. I think around 2014, 2015, we were not making any revenue, you know, but we had experience. And then I went back to the drawing board and said, guys, let me study the biggest IT companies that are currently dominating in South Africa and see if I can learn something. So I went and did that and actually realized that we have marginalized ourselves from an offering perspective because we are not offering enterprise networking. We're not offering data center solutions. We're just saying we are an IT security provider. So I went in and diversified that portfolio, and I think that's when we started gaining more a momentum, because we also started specializing on particular OEMs meaning original equipment manufacturers, such as Cisco. There was Dell, there was HP, not just from an endpoint or device perspective, but I'm talking about the architectural stuff as well, the deployment of those technologies as well. So I think that's when we started specializing and adopting certain vendors and their technologies, that's when we started getting back into business.
All right.
Fast forward to today. Yeah.
All right. So that's been us. It's been quite a fascinating discussion with Letabo Mokone, who is the CEO of Makwa IT, giving us some insight into what they have been seeing in terms of in terms of what's going on in the space IT. What does it mean to run an IT company? How they got into the IT industry, and also the ways in which they have diversified. But more importantly, it was quite interesting to hear what's actually been going on in terms of how he came about in terms of that business, that entrepreneurial culture that was sort of inculcated in him, you know, from a very young age, because of what was going on at home, and how he used all of that experience, and also just talking to people in his family, but also his friends in IT, and realizing, I liked the example that he gave earlier on, where he said that he wanted to try out life in an air-conditioned boardroom. And it seems that, for now, that dream seems to be working out very well. So, Letabo, thank you so much for being with us.
No, thank you so much for having us, Mudiwa, and have a blessed day for them.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Quite a fascinating discussion talking to Letabo just about the journey of the company, and it's really good to see black-owned firms coming up and actually doing well in the industry, and some of the economics that actually goes into it. The fact that Letabo says he was doing other businesses from being based in an entrepreneurial family, but then just realizing how lucrative it was, having made 700,000 rand in the first year of doing business as an IT company, and realizing that, and back then they were just doing one specific type of service, so one can only imagine the type of money that they are making at the moment. And it sort of shows the scale and reach that IT can actually have, and how it can be a tool for job creation if you think about it in the right way. So it's always good to see people using the platforms or the companies that they build as a way to address some of these broader societal issues, such as job creation, which is a big thing in South Africa. And also just considering some of the policies that he said that they have around making sure that their business is done above board, particularly when it comes to government, because of the scrutiny that IT companies are under at the moment, you know, with their dealings with the government, and also the just looking outwards and making sure that you also, I don't know what the word is, but, you know, just diversifying, you know, your revenue pool beyond what's going on in South Africa and expanding into other countries and just finding ways to get that international clientele. That's always a good thing, particularly if you're going to be getting US dollars out of it, that can help you to sort of go against some of the volatility that we often get in the rand. So that was it. Very interesting discussion, and it will be good to catch up with the Tabo again in future just to understand where else their business has been able to go. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.